welcome to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio. I'm Darren Hefty.
And I'm Brian Hefty. Thanks for joining us today. Well, today on the show, we're going to talk a little about plant tissue analysis. And I know it might be a little bit early because you may still be putting crop in the ground, or maybe you haven't even started putting crop in the ground yet. But we're going to talk about plant tissue analysis and why it should be a part of everyone's fertility program and fertility management program. We'll also get to your questions later in the show in the Ag PhD mailbag. If you've got a question for us, just email us, radio@agphd.com. You can also give us a call if you would like to speak to us, 844-44-AG-PHD. Again, that's 844-442-4743. And you can find us on X as well, Ag PhD Media, Darren Hefty or Brian Hefty. All right, plant tissue analysis. Let me just first say, nothing takes the place of soil testing. Plant tissue analysis tells you how your nutrient levels are in the plant today. That's it. That's all it does. Plant tissue analysis is absolutely not predictive. What I mean by that is just because you have a good level today doesn't mean you're going to have a good level tomorrow or a week from now or a month from now or 2 months from now. With soil testing, we have a much better idea of what's there in the soil and available for your crop to extract over a period of time. So with soil testing, that tells us, or at least that's pretty well predictive, okay? We don't always know if it's going to be in the plant that day, in part because of rainfall, root growth, things like that. But we do know, hey, if there's a whole bunch of whatever, phosphorus, for example, that's sitting there in the soil and it's available and I got a pretty high level, odds are high that adding a bunch more phosphorus probably isn't going to pay for me super well. So there are people out there who will chase plant tissue testing. What I mean by that is they will get a test, it'll show they're low on boron, and so as quickly as they can, they'll go throw more boron out there. But if you don't match this up with your soil testing program, then you may be wasting some money there. Now, it's a little bit different. If let's say, for example, you've got crazy light soil, you're farming in pure sand, so your soil can't hold a thing. Okay, then I get it. Then you don't have a whole lot of choice. But for most of us, we have medium to heavy soils, and we have the ability in our soils to hold a whole bunch of plant nutrients, even some of the ones that people would call leachable, like nitrate, sulfate, boron. So with plant tissue analysis, we still would encourage you at least do some. I'm not saying we do a lot on our farm. It costs roughly $20 a sample, and we're probably picking two spots in field, and we're doing maybe, I don't know, let's call it four or five corn fields every year and two or three bean fields, something like that. So we're not doing a lot, but when we do it, we're doing it every week. So what we do is we go out first thing every Monday morning. Time of day is important. Day of the week is somewhat important. With time of day, what we found is the nutrient levels can vary through the day to some degree. Now, some nutrients more than others, and I'm not going to get into that here. But I would just say try to pick a time. Like for us, we go first thing every Monday morning. The reason why we pick Monday, two reasons. Number one, it's we want to have the tests spaced out evenly as we go through the summer. So we're gonna go for 8 to 12 consecutive weeks, usually 12. With corn and any grass crop, we start right away. With soybeans and many of the broadleaf crops, we will start probably a month after planting. We wait for a while. We wait until just a little bit before flowering with soybeans, for example. But with corn or wheat or oats, we want to start right away at emergence, because there's more nutrient uptake early in the season with some of the grass crops than there are with some of the broadleaf crops. So we've just seen more difference there. But anyway, with the testing, and the reason why we want to do that on Mondays is also because we don't want that sample sitting in some post office over a weekend with more chance to deteriorate. So you can talk to your testing lab. They will most likely provide you sample bags. You want to use paper bags, not plastic, because if you send plant tissue in a plastic bag, it will show up as manure on the other end. So you don't want that. Send it in a paper bag. Also, here's one other tip. If you're doing plant tissue analysis, wash off the leaves with distilled water if there's anything at all on those leaves. Dirt, for example, is the biggest thing. One of the first samples we ever sent in, our iron numbers were off the charts. And I'm like, my gosh, we must have a lot of iron that's super available in the soil or something beyond what the soil test says. And call the lab and say, hey, is this normal? And they go, let me just put it bluntly. They didn't use these words exactly, but they're like, hey, dummy, you just gave us a sample with a whole bunch of dirt. So what do you think is going to happen? Of course, we're going to end up with all kinds of iron. They were much more polite about it that way, but that's how I interpreted it. Like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing. I have to learn, but that's, you go through this trial and error process. Anything new that you do, you're always going to make mistakes. That was the first mistake we made. So since then, we've had distilled water around. We just rinse the leaves off. No big deal. Now the samples come out like they should, but you can't have dirt on there as a contaminant. Also, for any testing lab, they should have guidelines for you in terms of which leaves you pull, at which stage of growth, and that kind of thing. We have some of that information at our agphd.com website as well. But we really like plant tissue analysis. Darren always calls it the report card for the farmer. Basically, it's telling you how good a job you did with your soil fertility program. Are you getting the nutrients into that plant correctly every day? And the reason why we want to do so many tests through the summer is rainfall can impact things. In other words, it can push more nutrients into the plant. Fast growth can impact things. So you got to take all those things into account. And I just say this, we don't want to use excuses here. If it didn't rain, if we have fast growth, if there's some reason why the nutrients are now low, we've got to overcome those things. And like where we farm in a dry area, we have to overcome that. It's hard. So in some cases, we have to have higher levels than somebody would in the soil where they get lots of rainfall, consistent rainfall, pushing the nutrients into the plant. So anyway, plant tissue analysis has been very helpful on our farm to tweak our overall program with fertility. We'll talk more about it right after this.
Farming comes with trade-offs. An extra pass means dinner in the cab. An early morning becomes a late night. Unnecessary restrictions turn into headaches. But when you make Enlist herbicides the foundation of your herbicide program, the trade-offs will be in your favor. Effective weed control that's ready to work when you are. Flexible tank mix options and neighbor-friendly applications, all without the need to jump through hoops. See what you'll gain with America's most trusted herbicide system protecting your Enlist E3 soybean fields at Enlist.com.
During the Go Green Save Green event at C&B, you'll save plenty on John Deere riding lawn equipment. Save on select S and X Series lawn tractors, plus Z-Track Zero Turns. Visit C&B at DeereEquipment.com.
From machine storage buildings and farm shops to dependable buildings to house your livestock, regardless of building size or use, Morton has a building for every budget. To learn how we can help you expand your farm operation, visit MortonBuildings.com.
On your farm, you spend thousands on fertilizer every season. But how do you know if any nutrient you apply is paying for itself? Build a fertility plan like never before with Verify. With Verify's soil point to yield analysis, you can automatically see the connection between your soil test and yield data to see which fertilizer dollars will make you money and which won't. Go to verify.com to get started today. That's VRAFY.com.
Maverick Corn Herbicide from Valent USA has proven to be a key part of growers' success in fighting problematic weeds. But don't take it from us. Take it from agronomy manager Nate Honeck.
We've seen tremendous weed control that was sprayed in dry, hot conditions with very little rain within 2 weeks after application. Very easy application. Definitely tank mix well with the various products we used.
Visit Valent.com/Maverick to learn more about Maverick Corn Herbicide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Back, you're listening to Ag PhD Radio. Thanks for joining us today. Just a progress update on our farm. We don't have anything in the ground yet in terms of corn or soybeans, but we're already on the show talking about plant tissue analysis. So we're planning for, all right, as the crop comes up, we're going to try and watch it. We're going to see what we can learn from it, and especially learning about nutrients. Are we getting the nutrients we need into the plants to be successful? Got John Leaf on with us right now with AgriLiquid to talk a little about plant tissue analysis. How you doing, John?
Doing well, thank you.
You know, if it was just so easy that the plants could speak out loud and say, hey, give me a little more phosphorus, hey, give me some more copper, oh, that'd be fun. But I guess this is probably as close as we can get, John, testing the soil, testing the plant tissue, and kind of see what it tells us.
I think you're right. I always like to start out with a good soil testing program just so that we have a framework as to where to start our crop nutrition planning. But then following up with a good systematic tissue testing program is pretty valuable.
All right. I know it depends on the crop that you're looking at, but can you talk us through that? When you do it, how often you do it, what kind of things are you seeing happen around the country?
I see two general ways of going about it. Some folks use it as a diagnostic tool. So if they see something that's not quite right in a field, they'll take tissue tests in bad spots and then good spots nearby. And that can be a nice way of helping determine if there's a nutrient deficiency on the horizon. You want to do that in a good timely way, though, so that you can respond if needed and try to maintain as much of that yield as you can. But the other way I'm seeing, especially some of the higher yield growers working, is they'll do a fairly systematic approach where they'll start out fairly early, you know, 3 to 4 weeks after emergence, and start taking weekly or biweekly tissue testing samples and sending them into their appropriate laboratory, and then tracking those changes over time. And if something starts to fall off, then they can make a management call on what to do with that.
I think it's kind of easy or kind of interesting with the tissue sampling. You mentioned a lot of guys are waiting 3 or 4 weeks to get a little bit of growth out there, and then they start doing this tissue sampling. And I've talked to growers over the years that have said, man, I'm putting fertilizer out in a 2x2, and I can tell as soon as my root system hits that, all of a sudden my nutrient levels jump. And also I can tell when it rains. I can tell when we had a nice stretch of heat and good growing degree day accumulation, those kinds of things. There are just a lot of things that happen during the year. I think, and I guess you can tell me what you think about this, John, it's just as important to be writing down all the other things going on. Okay, what's the weather like? Are you catching rain, getting lots of heat, those kinds of things? And also to do a little bit of digging in the ground just to see where that root system's at too.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. Crop nutrition and plant tissue analysis really depends on the weather, right, and the soil conditions that you're working in. So if you've had decent rains and the temperature is warm but not super hot, your crops are going to be taking up those nutrients from the soil at a pretty good rate. And those are the kind of things that you need to understand in interpreting those test results. An individual tissue test is literally a snapshot in time, right? So what's happening one day is dependent on what's happened up to that point. And if we can understand all those additional factors that go into that crop nutrition and what we're seeing in the tissue test, the more informed that we can be when making any kind of management decisions.
One thing we've noticed here the last few years, it's been really dry on our farm, like half of normal rainfall. And a lot of times we'll end up utilizing some dry fertilizer, some liquid fertilizer, manure on some ground too. But the dry pellets, they don't like it when it doesn't rain very much. But it seems like the liquid applications we can get into the plant a lot more efficiently in low rainfall environments.
Yeah, I believe that's correct. Dry materials obviously need some water or some sort of incorporation in order to get that nutrition down into the root zone so that it can move into the crop. Foliar applications with liquid products. You know, AgriLiquid has a number of products that we utilize in foliar crop nutrition, and we can can do a lot of good things with a crop that may be struggling. Obviously, if the conditions are just super hot to where the crop's just simply not growing, we don't have nearly the success that we do when the crops are photosynthesizing and respiring at a good rate. But liquids will tend to go into the leaves a lot better. And also, when we talk about that, I also like to say that, you know, not all crop nutrition products are the same when it comes to foliar nutrition. Some products, I'm thinking of our Fertirain and our Sure-K potassium products, for example. They do a very good job of going into the leaves and getting to where the crop needs them, where there are some others that really are not intended for that purpose. So you do need to understand what products you're working with and what their strengths and limitations are.
One question I've got for you, John, specifically about agri-liquid strategy. So I've talked to a lot of growers, and obviously Brian and I get a lot of plant tissue tests sent in to us throughout the year. And sometimes growers will say, well, I'm only short in zinc, or I'm only short in potassium or something like that. But I see agri-liquid selling a lot of blended products. Like with the micros, it seems like a lot of the approach is, you know what, let's have a blend of micros here to really feed that crop rather than, and I know you sell the individual products too, but it sure seems like there's an emphasis on let's go with something like ProGerminator rather than just a straight phosphorus product. Why do you do that? And do you see that also when you're looking at plant tissue analysis that, hey, I might prescribe a blended product even if it looks like only one nutrient is obviously low?
Sure. So, yes, we do have a number of blended products, as you call them. Our ProGerminator, as an example, is a 924-3. And we have found that with the way that we have developed and formulated our different products, having the entire group in that formulation makes that main nutrient perform better. So, for example, with ProGerminator, although it's primarily a phosphorus product, the nitrogen, the potassium, and the iron that's in that formulation makes that phosphorus work so much better. And the same with, our Fertirain product, for example. It's a great potassium product, but the nitrogen, phosphorus, and sulfur make that work better too. And so what we're trying to do is bring the nutrition products to the farmer that will actually go into the plant and be as effective as it can. And oftentimes having more than one nutrient in that tank will make the primary nutrient that you're trying to address so much more effective.
Yeah, I've heard the same kind of thing from a number of the fertility experts that we've had on the show today. And I guess I would encourage growers, as you're pulling those plant tissue samples and you're seeing, okay, this nutrient looks like it's the most out of balance, that's fine to try some straight goods on part of the field, but maybe you try a blended product too and see if just feeding that crop with a balanced approach might be a better way to go and just kind of compare what the results are. I just find it very interesting. We've got a lot to learn about plant tissue analysis. Like you say, we're talking with John Leaf here with AgriLiquid, that it's a snapshot in time and that can change. So you kind of got to know what's going on with the weather, growing conditions, and so forth around that crop to make the best decisions. John, thank you so much. We really appreciate all the insight today and good luck to you here heading into the spring.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
We're talking about plant tissue analysis on today's program, but the Ag PhD mailbag is already filling up. If you've got an agronomic question for us, you can always email us radio@agphd.com or give us a call at 844-44-AG-PHD.
My mom's got a new Case IH tractor and it can do it all. Bale hay all day. See in the dark with its powerful LED lights. Hook up all the implements. Shift like a race car. Steer with ease. And it can also cool my juice box. Yeah, her Case IH tractor can do everything she needs it to.
Looking for a tractor that can do it all? Check out caseih.com.
The hardworking, independent spirit of rural America can often be isolating. It's not often discussed, but mental health issues are real. Now's the time to lead by example. Talk openly and show that a strong mind is just as important as a strong body. FMC is proud to be working toward ending the misconceptions around mental health through awareness, guidance, and action. Together, we can uproot the stigma.
Warning, high yields incoming. Upgrading your planter with Germinator closing wheels can increase your corn yields by 13 bushels in no-till and 7 bushels in conventional. Are your bins ready? Call Farm Shop MFG at 712-520-6051.
Get more durability for less downtime with Soil Warrior Strip Tillage from Environmental Tillage Systems. Improve fertilizer efficiency and reduce passes and fuel usage. Now that's ROI. Learn more about ETS at soilwarrior.com.
Every season, you're collecting yield data on virtually every acre of your farm. But what good is your data if you never use it? Put it to work with Verify. Verify takes yield data directly from your combine and instantly generates variable rate fertility maps based on crop removal, ensuring your crops get what they need, right where they need it, no matter what equipment you run. Go to verify.com to find an expert to help you get started. That's VRAFY.com.
It's smart to make the right agronomic choices, and it's even smarter to get rewarded for them. With the Bayer Plus Rewards program, you earn cash back on seed, herbicides, and other eligible products. And it keeps getting smarter, because now you can earn an additional 10% bonus when you send your redemption check to your retailer. To learn more, contact your retailer today. Protect your yields and get the most from your land with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit mybayerplus.com and see program terms and conditions for full details.
Maverick Corn Herbicide from Valent USA has proven to be a key part of grower success in fighting problematic weeds. But don't take it from us. Take it from farmer Rob Schaefer.
Residuals have become a big part of our chemical programs with trying to battle water hemp, and also mare's tail is our big one. It's done a real good job of controlling those. You don't have to, you know, put a bunch of gallons in your sprayer, cover a lot of acres that way.
Visit Valent.com/Maverick to learn more about Maverick Corn Herbicide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Come on in. The Ag PhD mailbag is about to begin.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. We've been talking about plant tissue analysis, but we've got some soil tests here that came in. This is from Adam down in Kansas. So they're kind of split, so you have to hold them about like this, Brian, to get your base saturations on that second page on the right. Adam said, all right, down in Kansas here, these tests were taken a week ago. I've got a wheat crop in the field right now, but the reason that I took the test early is I know I just got this ground. I know I need to lime it, and in order to get the lime ordered, I needed to do it.
Some pH is in the fours.
So I wanted to know how bad it was. And my agronomist said, well, the pH isn't going to change much, but your nutrients might be off compared to what they're going to be.
Now I'm going to disagree. And the reason why is because when you have a crop that's growing in the field, what does the crop do? We always think about roots as bringing in water and nutrients, but what else do they do? They kick out organic acids into the soil. Your pH will be lower when there is a crop there. So, I mean... That's part of the reason why we don't do in season. So as the crop is growing, soil pH testing and complete soil analysis, I want to see how we add at the end of the season. But if it's 4.7 right now, let's be honest, it's not getting its way into the sixes. Okay. The crop did not lower it that much. But I guess what I'm saying is you may be thinking you need a little bit more lime than you probably do. That's my guess. Anyway, what was the question?
Okay. Obviously, I'm a young farmer with not an unlimited budget yet, but just want to talk through some of the things that I could do. You can see, obviously, I need to address the P and the K.
What crop are we going to be raising next?
It's going to be winter wheat this fall.
Okay. So winter wheat is not as fussy as corn, and it's certainly not as fussy as alfalfa. In other words, the pH doesn't have to be, like with alfalfa, it's got to be darn near 7, or you're getting killed, just crushed. I was just talking to a guy about this yesterday, and I said, because we were talking about any changes that we made on the farm, and I said, well, one of the biggest things is we're back to raising alfalfa again because we got a dairy that wants to buy it and they pay good money for it, so we're raising some alfalfa. But I said the problem with the alfalfa is you have to plan out 3 years in advance, and a lot of people don't want to do that. And the reason why you have to plan out so far in advance is you want to make stuff great. I don't just want a good crop. I want a great crop, like an absolutely amazing crop where you go, wow, I got to keep doing that because it's so fantastic. So what did we do in the years leading up to it? We limed. We made sure our pH was close to 7, and we also got a ridiculous amount of P and K out there, so we didn't have to put P and K out as maintenance like a lot of people try to over time, because you can't till it in. P and K don't work themselves into the ground, especially phosphorus and things like that. So I realize we're not talking about alfalfa here with Adam, but what we are talking about is how do you maximize profitability on your farm, and crop rotation or what crop you're raising makes an enormous difference as to what we're going to tell you to focus on first. So, but I would say, yeah, I mean, pH down in the fours, your wheat is still getting hurt by that, but at least if you got it into the upper fives, you're going to be in pretty good shape. So you don't have to go overboard on the lime, but get at least some lime out there as soon as you get a chance. The good news for you is your soil is relatively light. We're talking 7 to 13 CEC, so you don't need a whole lot of lime, and that pH will come up fairly quickly.
Yeah, that's all good. You know, you look at the organic matter is only 1%. He asked specifically about boron. You can see my boron in pounds per acre is somewhere between a half a pound and 2 pounds. So a quarter to one part per million, it's pretty low. And also
it's
zinc.
It's fine. His calcium's 500 to 1,000 parts per million. So the boron level's actually fine. You want to basically take your calcium number divided by 1,000. That's roughly where your boron should be.
So you may just want to feed for each crop that you're putting in. You may have enough
level. Well, yeah, because boron's leachable. So here's the thing.
Oh, I don't know how much leaching you're going to have in Kansas where he's at, but maybe you would. You're kind of in central Kansas.
Yeah, but I'm just saying when you've got, on average, 10 CEC, it's not going to hold it super well, not like ours where it's 25 or 30 CEC.
Okay, what about the zinc?
Okay, here, stop. Let's just stop for a second. Focus on P and K, Adam. Focus on P and K. That's where your problem is. You got, I mean, some phosphorus levels in the teens, and you got a lot of potassium levels that are under 100 parts per million, and base saturation K, even in that light soil, is 2%. That's what's killing you right now. So I get that if you listen to our show and you hear us talk about zinc and boron and copper and manganese and iron, all these things, you start thinking that's a really big deal. It is a big deal. We want to keep stuff in ratio and everything else. And yes, with this zinc, it's 0.3, 0.4 parts per million. Okay, so would I put some zinc on? Sure. It's just not going to cost a whole lot. And same thing with the copper. You're 1 part per million. I'd like to have that at 3. So start working on getting the zinc and the copper changed. But, I mean, literally, you can throw some zinc sulfate out, some copper sulfate out. You're going to spend probably $20. You fixed your zinc and your copper, and away we go. But the P and the K, I mean, we're talking $100, $150 here. Invest in your P and K. That's where the money's at.
All right. Thanks for the questions. We appreciate that, and good luck to you. All right. Got a couple of herbicide programs here, Brian. Soybeans on the first page, corn on the second. This is from Kurt. He said, my agronomist put this plan together for my corn and soybeans for crop protection. I'm curious what you think about it. I've got a few questions.
Does he say what weeds we're after? We always have to start there.
Yep, we're coming there. He said, first of all, you can notice that a lot of these are BASF products because I'm utilizing BASF's financing program.
Sure.
But he said, my worst weeds are water hemp and giant ragweed. I'm curious about a couple things. First of all, how do you know which chemicals have soil residual? Is it a certain group, or could you just identify as you go through my programs which ones have residual? And then secondly, do I need to be concerned about using Roundup at a 2/3 rate pre and post on corn? And what if I don't get a kill with that?
Well, here's the thing. When stuff is cheap, why would you cut the rate? Why would you go with a reduced rate when you can go full rate and it costs an extra dollar or two? It's so little. So Let's see.
So it looks like we're set up for no-till here. On soybeans, we've got Zidua Pro and Roundup, followed by Outlook and Liberty, followed by Hero and Preaxor, an insecticide, fungicide later on. On the corn side, we've got Verdict and Roundup Down. We've got Roundup plus Status plus Meso plus a half pound of atrazine.
Wow, you're going to kill stuff there. Okay.
And then we've got Veltima coming up after that.
Okay, so we've spent some money here, some serious money. All right, let's talk specifically about each one of these things. So let's start with Zidua Pro. All right, with every combination product, you got to break it down and say, what's in there? Well, Zidua Pro, you got Sharpen, no way. Don't use Sharpen in front of soybeans. Here's the reason why. You've got water hemp and you've got giant ragweed. You need much more PPO residual than what Sharpen's going to give you. You got to get a Valor or an Authority or something that contains those active ingredients. No thank you. Pursuit, not going to kill your water hemp. May or may not kill much of your giant ragweed. Plus, it's got 4 ounces, full 4 ounce rate of Pursuit at the full rate of the Zidua Pro. And the concern I have is always carryover. So then all you're left with that's great in there is Zidua, which is a group 15. So no thank you, no Zidua Pro for me. Switch to something else. Now, is the financing worth something? Sure it is. But if I don't kill the weeds, then what good did that do? Switch that out. So that's really the only issue that I've got with the whole program. If you want to run Liberty Outlook, fine with that. Preaxor, really good product there. Throw in a little tilt or generic tilt with that. That'll make it even better. On your corn program, love Verdict, love Roundup, fantastic. The problem post-emerge with planning it out now and what you're going to do in corn is you have a lot of options. If I can cut the status, oh, believe me, I'm cutting the status. It costs a lot of money. So, like, even in your program where you got a very reduced rate of status.
That is a fantastic product.
Right.
Just expensive.
Yeah. $12.75 for a very reduced rate, almost one-third rate. And that's almost half your money you're spending there. So my point is, let's just wait and see what comes up in corn and then make the decision there. If you need the status, fine. I have no issue with it. In fact, we'll run some 5 ounce rate of status on our own farm, but let's scout and see first. But Veltima and all these fungicides, love them, should work good. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you look close enough, you can see the hidden potential within your fields. That's why an agro-liquid nutrition plan starts with the crop and identifies the precise combination of primary nutrients while focusing on the support of secondary and micronutrients. So every nutrient is working in harmony for your crop to reach its full potential, maximizing growth while offering lower use rates. Apply less, expect more? Precisely. Find an agro-liquid dealer at agroliquid.com.
Nothing but net. Win your soybean season with the fast knockdown and lasting broad-spectrum control of Elevest Insect Control from FMC. Take on armyworms, stink bugs, soybean loopers, and more with the maximized ratio of premier active ingredients for better overall control of more than 40 labeled pests. Visit your FMC retailer or elevest.ag.fmc.com to up your game this season. Always read and follow all label directions.
Weeds rob you of yield potential, so rob them of the chance to grow with powerful corn herbicide solutions from Corteva Agriscience. Weeds won't know what hit them, but you will, because you can count on proven top herbicides like Resicor or SureStart 2 or the new game-changing herbicide Cairo to effectively control weeds. That way, you spend less time worrying about unwanted yield-robbing weeds and have more time to power on with your day. Learn more at poweroverweeds.com.
Your farm's greatest challenge is making sure your crop has enough fertility to reach its yield goals. But how do you know if you're applying too much of any one nutrient? Fine-tune your fertility plan with Verify. Your combine collects hundreds of yield data points per acre. Verify takes that data and instantly generates variable rate fertility maps based on crop removal, so you can be confident you're not over-applying. Get started today at verify.com. That's V-R-A-F-Y.com.
Are you being offered a complete seed treatment package? If your seed treatment doesn't help against soybean diseases like white mold, sudden death syndrome, and rhizoctonia, then it's not complete. Heads Up Seed Treatment offers protection against all of these diseases through its unique mode of action, systemic acquired resistance. Don't get caught off guard in 2024. Get the best defense against the unpredictability of each season by completing your seed treatment package with Heads Up. Visit headsupst.com to learn more.
Morton Buildings has served the American farmer for more than 120 years. From manufacturing our own building components to constructing your building, Morton takes pride in being the industry leader in post-frame construction by providing a quality building and exceptional customer service. A Morton is built to last for generations. To get started on your next project, please visit MortonBuildings.com.
You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. We're broadcasting from the Morton Studio, and we are right in the middle of the Ag PhD mailbag time, taking your questions via email, radio@agphd.com, or you can call our phone lines. We've got phone lines open right now at 844-44-AG-PHD. Just before the break, we were talking about Kurt's questions on herbicide programs, and he mentioned he's using BASF's financing program this year. Yeah, there are some great financing offers out there, so I don't blame anybody for doing that. We're doing that with some of our crop protection needs as well. In fact, Brian mentioned, oh, hey, don't use this one product and use products from these two other companies that he mentioned. He mentioned Valor and Authority. Both are not BASF products. And I was just thinking, but we ran out of time there before the break, they've got finance offers too. So it's possible you could fit into one
and
of those finance
cheap.
Offers. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So talk to your dealer about that and say, hey, what if I went with this product instead? I bet I could still get a good deal, right?
Yeah. And so I hate to be so harsh, but, you know, like Zidua Pro, and I love BASF. They got a lot of great things. It's just that Zidua Pro doesn't fit well if you've got a major water hemp problem, because the Pursuit won't do it. The Sharper won't give you any residual to speak of. And all you're left with is Zidua.
At that rate that you're using in beans.
Right. And if you use a higher rate, you kill your beans. So you can't do that. So yeah, we love Sharpen in wheat and corn. In fact, he mentioned Verdict. Well, that contains Sharpen. Fantastic product for corn. That's my number one recommendation for water hemp. And Sharpen's my number one recommendation for water hemp and wheat too. But in both those crops, we can use higher rates. We just unfortunately can't in soybeans. So if we end up with PPO tolerant soybeans someday and we can use higher rates of Sharpen, great, I'm in. But not Zidua Pro. No, thank you. Doesn't fit the weed spectrum. Switch to something else. That's why we talk about the three pre's all the time. Use a yellow Metribuzin and Valor Authority. And if you don't believe what I'm telling you, at least try some of the three pre right next to Zidua Pro. You probably won't spend any more money and you will get dramatically better control. You could drive past the field at 60 miles an hour and you will still go, oh, wow. Yep, there is a massive difference there.
Okay. Thanks for the questions. I get this from Mike. He said, I'm going to send you my father's soil test. He pulled some tests, 6-acre grids. He plans on putting on dolomitic lime on the fields that have low pH, and he also wants to bulk spread fertilizer. A couple of questions for you. Do you recommend using bulk broadcasting as a way to build up nutrients over time?
Yes.
And he has dry boxes on his planter. Would you use those to supply current year needs?
Well, you can, but where are we placing the fertilizer? Does he say?
Banded 2 inches beside the row.
Okay. I don't have a real big issue with that. You just don't want to get real carried away. But can you do that? Absolutely, you can. Now, we prefer strip-till where we place it 6 inches below the seed. But if you want to go 2 inches to the side, your plants will find that.
All right. He said, if you're banding for this year's needs,
yep.
Do you apply as much fertilizer as it says in the fertilizer removal app or a different rate?
Well, mostly, yeah. We kind of look at crop removal. So I was mentioning strip-till. We have done a fair amount of that over the years, and we like looking at, okay, let's say it's 200 bushel corn. We look at the grain-only portion of the removal because we leave all the residue out there. We just look at the grain-only portion, and then we put that amount out. So that way, if we pulled off 200 bushel corn, we applied what that would remove, then our fertility level would basically stay equal.
All right. Next question. Mike's in Pennsylvania. He said, last year, a local supplier recommended my dad spread 270 pounds of a 37% nitrogen dry blend on his corn.
Yep.
bulk spread pre-plant.
Sure.
This year, I advised him that's not a good idea. Based on these soil tests, which they're on the front and back side, so some of the data is on the front, some's on the back. It's lighter soil, typically just a little below 10 CEC.
Well, have you run the math? That's roughly 100 pounds. So what's his concern? Why did he not think that was a good idea? Did he say why?
Doesn't say. Just he didn't think it was a good idea to put it all out broadcast pre-plant. Now, in Pennsylvania, it could definitely be higher rainfall as part of it, and just worried about it being around there when you need it later in the season.
I'm looking to find where the nitrogen test is on this soil test. I don't see one, so we don't know how much nitrogen there was carried over. So that makes it really tough.
Yeah, and it's very inexpensive to add that nitrogen test on most soil tests.
Yeah.
We really like to see where it's at. And it's interesting, as we talk about nitrogen, how many people around the country say, oh, that's worthless. There's no point in adding a nitrogen test on there. Well, I'd kind of like to see. Maybe the number's zero,
okay,
and that's fine, but maybe the number says 100 pounds for some reason.
All right, well, let's just play this out for a second. Cation exchange capacity, he's got as low as 7. Now, granted, there are a couple heavy spots. There's one that's 17, okay? So that's different. Would I be comfortable throwing 270 pounds out? Probably, but we're going to talk this through. So if the CEC is 7, we're going to typically tell you, multiply that times 10, that would equal 70. That's going to give you an idea of roughly, ballpark, how much nitrogen your soil can hold at any one time. So if that's what you're thinking about and you go, well, he's going to throw 100 pounds out, my soil only holds 70, and the crop's not even growing yet, that seems kind of crazy. I agree with you. It'd be very easy to lose that nitrogen. So yes, I am worried. I'm more worried because we don't have a nitrate test and you might have 30 pounds sitting out there already. Well, if you already have 30 pounds sitting out there, subtract that off the 70, now your soil can only hold an extra 40 and you just threw 100 out. So yeah, I think you're spot on there. At least in some areas, you probably shouldn't be putting that much nitrogen out up front. What you got next there, Darren?
Okay, again, another soil test to look at, but this one's in a completely different geography. This one's from Bartley up in southwest North Dakota. And Bartley gives us little information here, which we know quite well. He said, I am in a low rainfall area,
yep.
12 to 14 inches if we're lucky. So yield goals are probably 35 bushels for wheat and 9-ton corn silage. Given lower yields, the budget for fertilizer, of course, is a little lower, too. I don't have to put on quite as much to achieve those. I have included my soil tests, excluding nitrogen. Where would you start spending money here? If I were to mark out 5 acres, what is the first $100 investment you'd make if I just took five yep. acres and really yep. went for it?
Yep.
And also, disregard the last two soil tests. They're my wife's garden. And you know what, Bartley? The first thing I did is I looked at those last two soil tests and said, huh, if she can do it in the garden, I think I see where you're coming from on the, hey, if I marked out 5 acres and just went for it, I'm betting she's getting pretty good production in that garden.
No, she's not. And I'll tell you why. Because her sodium level is off the charts. 16% sodium, 22% sodium. That's killing her right now. So in a normal, when we see that anywhere, and there is one spot in these other tests where you're at 29.7%
sodium. I wonder
what
the water source is she's using. If that's high, if it's rural water, that is pretty high in sodium. Or if is that coming from a well that she's watering that with? Just curious.
Yeah, well, here's most likely why it's happening. You got compaction. It's not super heavy soil, but somewhat. There's compaction, and then the biggest thing is it's just not draining through. So in part because, well, like out in his field, he's got 34% magnesium and 29% sodium. So there's a sodic spot out there, and that soil's dead. That garden is almost dead because there's so much sodium. So we got to talk about how we're going to flush that out. Here's how. You're going to put tile in the ground, and then you're going to put out a crazy amount of sulfur. Now, in the garden, I don't see any sulfur test, so you might not need to do that. Let me explain further. In that one spot out in your field, there are 548 parts per million, which means you got about 1,100 pounds of sulfur out there, which is amazing. Now, it takes about 1 pound of sulfur to remove 1 pound of sodium. You have 998 parts per million of sodium in that spot, so your 548 on sulfur is still going to be low. But you got to fix the drainage first. Get some tile out there. And I know it sounds insane when you're in a really dry area, but that's the fix. You got to put tile there, and then it's going to take a long time to get enough rainfall to flush this through. But this didn't happen overnight. You're not going to fix it overnight. But you got to think about, because I'll tell you right now, if this has been in your family for generations, this problem started with your grandpa. It didn't even start with your dad. It started with your grandpa. So think about your grandkids. You don't want them to have this problem. We'll talk more about Bartley soil tests right after this.
Get uniform control in your fields with trusted, hardworking Lucento fungicide. Control the toughest diseases with a dual mode of action fungicide that consistently outperforms the competition in field trials. Lucento fungicide from FMC works overtime for lasting control to help improve crop yields. Talk about getting the job done. Visit your FMC retailer or lucento.ag.fmc.com for hardworking control in your fields. Always read and follow all label directions.
Are you ready for better efficiency, more productivity, higher yields? Then you're ready for John Deere Precision Technology, which starts with three core pieces. First, a G5 display gives fast views of your work and a window to future technology. A Starfire receiver gives you sub-inch repeatable accuracy without an RTK base station. And a JD Link modem gives you a live view of your entire operation. Get precise and talk with your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/basic.
Here at Ag PhD, we're always looking for ways to support the next generation in the ag industry. That's why at our free Ag PhD Scouting and Scholarships event on Saturday, June 29th, we're giving away more than 100 college scholarships. Join us as we head into the field for hands-on sessions covering everything from how to pull soil and tissue samples, ways to improve crop health, the importance of microbiology in farming, and much more. Plus, in our comprehensive guide to crop scouting, we'll explore both above and below ground in a variety of crops as we diagnose problems with insects, weeds, diseases, and anything else we may find. As we're giving away tens of thousands of dollars in scholarships to eligible attendees, this day is geared more towards students and young farmers, but anyone with a desire to learn more about agronomy is more than welcome. So whether you're a college student or just want good agronomy information, this is one event you won't want to miss. Come to the Ag PhD Scouting and Scholarships Day, Saturday, June 29th on the Hefty Farm near Baltic, South Dakota. Learn more and register at agphd.com.
It's smart to make the right agronomic choices, and it's even smarter to get rewarded for them. With the Bayer Plus Rewards program, you earn cash back on seed, herbicides, and other eligible products. And it keeps getting smarter, because now you can earn an additional 10% bonus when you send your redemption check to your retailer. To learn more, contact your retailer today. Protect your yields and get the most from your land with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit mybayerplus.com and see program terms and conditions for full details.
Because the challenges you face are getting bigger every year, BASF is committed to helping with more than boots on the ground. We're committed to boots in the mud, boots on the steps of your truck, your tractor, your combine, the linoleum tiles of your coffee shop, the concrete of your co-op, the gravel in your shed. So we can listen, learn firsthand, help right now to ensure success. BASF, helping you do the biggest job on earth.
Welcome back to Ag PhD Radio. I'm Brian Hefty along with my brother Darren. We are live in the Morton studio today. We were talking about plant tissue analysis earlier in the show, but we're right in the middle of the Ag PhD mailbag right now. If you've got a question for us, just email us, radio@agphd.com. Okay, so right before the break, we were talking about Bartley soil tests. He's from southwest North Dakota. He has a sodic spot, and his wife's garden is a sodic. He's got a sodic problem there, too. That means there's too much sodium. Sodium by itself isn't going to leach out. What we want to do is we want to turn it into a salt, and you can do that with sulfur. Sodium sulfate is a salt. Salts are leachable. The thing that stinks in Bartley's area is he just doesn't get a lot of rainfall. So we feel for him. We get not a lot of rain, but he gets even less than we do. And I know it sounds crazy when you tell somebody in a really dry area to put in drain tile and they go, what? I want to save every drop of water I can. No, you absolutely don't. Because like in this case with that sodium, it's literally killing your soil. I'm surprised, well, and maybe you aren't raising anything there, but usually somewhere around 30% sodium, we find that soil to be dead. So we got to fix that over time. It's not going to be super cheap because tile isn't free. And then you're going to need some more sulfur over time as well. Now, fortunately, there are a lot of ways you can get sulfur out there, whether it's like in his case, gypsum, lime, ammonium sulfate, lots of things that you can do there. So like in that one spot, and here's the thing too, I don't know how big that grid or zone is, but you can probably visually see this spot. Don't go outside that area, but in that area, get it tiled. And over time, you're going to want to add a little more sulfur. And over the next 30 years, and I know, I'm sorry, I wish I could tell you this is going to happen in 2 years. It's going to take 30 years for you. It's going to take 30 years. And then that sodic spot will be gone. In my area, I can take care of a sodic spot probably in 10 years, maybe 15 when it's this bad. But I mean, I'm sorry, but it's really, really super enormously bad. Okay, now everywhere else, no sodium issues really to speak of. And I get that it's low yield environment, low rainfall. So we got to be careful about what we spend. So that's where we love variable rate fertility. For example, you got a spot where there's 9 parts per million on your P1 phosphorus test. Now, granted, the P2 says 87, so it's really not that bad. But nevertheless, I'm going to be continuing to address phosphorus everywhere because we got 20, 30, 35 parts per million on phosphorus. You just don't need a whole lot. And with potassium, it's not bad. You're in the 200s on parts per million. You're around 4% base saturation K. So I'm going to continue to add just a little bit of potassium, especially where I'm below 200 parts per million and below 4% base saturation K. Just keep adding a little bit of potassium. The other things, and it's fairly minor, but sulfur, you got single digits in most places. All except for that sodic area, you got single digits. So make sure you're adding at least a little bit of sulfur somehow, some way. Don't need lots, but you need a little bit. And you got to get your zinc and your copper levels up there. The cheapest way to do that, just put some zinc sulfate out, put some copper sulfate out. And granted, you can feed the crop each year with real low rates of a liquid zinc, liquid copper, liquid boron, things like that. But we like the dries because they're very inexpensive to build soil. We like the liquids to feed crops. So anyway, your zinc, 0.6, 0.7 parts per million. That's too low. You want that probably 3 to 4 parts per million, somewhere in there. And it's not going to cost a lot to do this. When you go zinc sulfate, broadcast it across your field, and you can certainly do any variable rate if you needed to, but all your tests were about the same. Copper, you want to probably get that to at least 2, if not 3. You will notice you'll have better disease control in that wheat. So I'm probably shooting for 3 parts per million, but at least 2 parts per million would be very helpful for you. And then with boron, I mean, your calcium level, you want to take that, divide it by 1,000. That'll tell you roughly where you want your boron level. So 1 to maybe 1.5, 2 parts per million, you're at 0.3, 0.5 and a bunch of it. So don't spend a lot there, and you don't have to do this all at once. But I'm just saying your phosphorus levels, potassium levels, they're really not that bad. It's just some of these micronutrient things, just, you know, kind of keep fertilizing stuff. But here's the other thing. In a really dry area, fertility is more important than in a wet area. And the reason why is because if your crop starts suffering, then it's got all kinds of stress already. So if it is short on nutrients, now it's got more stress. But the other big reason why is what happens with crops is if they start to run short on any one nutrient, then they start bringing in more water, even if they don't yet need the water, because they need the nutrients, and the nutrients come in with the water. So like on our farm, for example, and I know you got a lot of 4 and 5% base saturation potassium levels, and that's certainly not bad. And I'm not saying, oh, go spend a whole bunch of money. But what I am saying is if over time, let's say over the next 10 years, you got those built up to 5 or maybe 6%, somewhere in there, then you're going to find you're going to have better yields, you're going to have better drought tolerance, better crop health, better test weight and everything, because the potassium's getting into that plant. So with corn, for example, and I know we're talking a low yield environment, 9-ton silage, you take that times 9, that's only around 80 bushel corn. Okay, so you don't need a lot. You're not pulling out a lot every year. But if the crop isn't getting potassium every day, it's going to be wasting water. That's what I'm trying to say. So I'm going to continue building over the next 10 years my P and K. Do it slowly because, again, yeah, I get you don't have a lot of income coming in each year. But I'd be building P and K for sure and then work on those micros like we talked about.
All right. Thanks for the question. I get this one from AD. He said, does gibberellic acid, if it makes plants taller, does it necessarily cause lodging?
No. Nope, it doesn't. In fact, I know with Valent, when they were really pushing Rise Up Smart Grass, they would talk about, hey, we're not really increasing the lodging. We oftentimes will impact the size of the stalk as well. But it all goes hand in hand. You got to be smart about things. I mean, if you've already got something that's a tall hybrid, you throw gibberellic acid on, you make it even taller, and if you have planted at a really high population and you have very low potassium in the soil, well, that's a little bit of a recipe for trouble. But it was a recipe for trouble before you ever put the gibberellic acid on anyway. So make sure you're maintaining really good potassium levels, and then don't forget, copper and manganese also have an impact on your stalk quality. Copper, especially when it comes to green snap, how much that plant can bend, that has a lot to do with how much copper is in that plant.
All right, I get this one from MM. I'm in India. My soil pH is 8.77. What do I need to know in order to start addressing my high pH? Yep. First, MM, we need more than pH. We need to know what all the nutrient balance is. I'm guessing when it's that close to 9, you probably have a lot of sodium in there.
Hey, let's be very specific. Here's what we need. We need to know organic matter, phosphorus, potassium, magnesium, calcium, sodium, pH. We want to know base saturation. We want to know cation exchange capacity. We want to know sulfur, nitrogen, zinc, manganese, iron, copper, boron, soluble salts.
Okay, there you go. There's your list, MM, and your homework assignment. If you get that, send it to us. We'd be happy to take a look and diagnose what we think would be best to fix the problem. Get this one in from John. He said, I saw your naturals and your soybean workshops on Acres TV. I might have missed this, but did you talk about spraying insecticides on your crop and its impact on soil health, microbes, or organisms? Do you feel that it hurts anything, or do you think it's a non-issue?
We feel it helps, and the reason why is because if your plant is under stress, then the plant is going to produce fewer roots. It's going to kick out fewer sugars into the soil to feed all the microbes. So I'm positive if you use an insecticide when it is needed, when it is called for, the right product at the right rate, you know, labeled rate, all that kind of thing, it's going to have a positive impact on soil health. The biggest thing we can always do for soil health is raise amazing crops out there.
All right. Thanks for the question. Get this one from Kellen. He said you were talking about killing a weed and you mentioned perhaps tillage being helpful, but wouldn't you lose water and nutrients by doing so? Wouldn't necessarily lose nutrients by doing tillage.
But yeah, you'll probably lose water. Now, there are some people that would like to lose water. So, I mean, it's a tool, just like anything. I mean, herbicide is a tool. Heck, our dad always used to call it, your back is a tool. I mean, go out and hand pull the weed. I mean, that's a tool. So yeah, you got lots of options for tools. Some of them you probably don't want to pick, though. Depends on your situation.
All right. Well, thanks for all the questions that we got in today, and thanks for listening to our program. Be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio.